This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand will shout a victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen.
Thank you, Lantana. I wanted to share with you a few things from John's life. And I've known him for just a few years, but even over the past few days, I've had the privilege of getting to know him better, reading about some of the history and the things that he has done. And it shocked me. He was quite a Renaissance man and served the Lord in many, many ways. And you never know when you meet individuals and you talk to him. Such a humble individual, he wouldn't brag about it. And so I'm going to show a slideshow and of some of the things that he had done. He was a bush pilot in Brazil and captain of two different sailing vessels, and some of the places that he went, the things that he did. And so I'd like to show that, and then we'll have an interview that talks about some of the other things that he did as well. Work there, pioneer a mission work, And then you saw some of the other stages. That final stage after building that last boat did quite a bit of work taking the Word of God, and you saw some of the folks that had gotten saved as a result of that. And I just wanted to share one more thing before we move on that I thought was really interesting. An interview by a local news station. And you can cut the lights again. And I think you'll enjoy this.
Now just sit right back and you'll hear a tale, the tale of a faithful trip that's starting from this tropic port aboard a missionary ship. No, I'm not about to introduce Gilligan's Island, but as Kelly Abe reports, the mate was the only crew member, the skipper brave and sure, but they are setting sail for more than a 3-hour tour.
The trip didn't originate in Hawaii. The Shiloh is just here to pick up supplies. The trip started in 1990, and since then, the Shiloh has sailed to Haiti, Jamaica, Panama, Costa Rica, and Acapulco under the command of its skipper, the Reverend John Rhodes. He's bound for Samoa and New Guinea tomorrow morning. This is the second boat Rhodes has captained since 1978. His mission is to take supplies to missionary families in islands in the Caribbean and South Pacific, and also to start churches there. He works for the World Witness Crusade.
This is a tracts and literature that we have in 9 different languages, and it's almost 1 million pieces of literature. We've already given out over 250,000 in the Spanish language.
Rhodes built the 63-foot Shiloh, which means peace, almost single-handedly. The building of the Shiloh took 5 years in a place called Harker's Island, North Carolina. It was built in the backyard of a friend's home and became a project for many community churches. Rhodes just followed his boat builder friend's instructions.
He'd usually have to work in a boatyard during the day, and in of an evening time, he could work on the boat. So he would lay out things for me to do, and each day I'd do it.
So how did a boy born and raised in Indiana develop such an attachment for the sea? Rhodes says it was out of necessity to do missionary work in remote islands. Rhodes is looking for one more crew member for a crew of 3. He admits that the work is not easy.
And there's a cost. It takes all your time. It's 100%. I don't know of a day this is not on my mind, day and night.
But Rhodes says the reward is knowing you did what God called you to do, and someday he plans to write a book to get young people interested in missionary work, too. Kelly Abe, KGMB News.
World Witness Crusade is based in Poland, Indiana. Rhodes has also done missionary work as a bush pilot in Brazil. Well,
amen. And I thought that was really a blessing to see the history of somebody that we know and some parts of their life that maybe you didn't know about. And it was just a blessing to see and encouragement. And I thought you would enjoy sharing that with me. I know I enjoyed getting to know Brother John, and I'll share a little bit later on some of the things he told me about. But just talking to him about the mission work that God had used him in, and he definitely didn't have any regrets as to that. He knew what he was called to do, and that was a joy. At this time, I'm going to have Brother Sam Aug come to sing our special music.
I'd just like to say before I sing, one service just before John was not able to come anymore, I slipped over here and he sat right here about the third seat back. I said, Brother John, I said, how are you doing? Oh, he says, Sam, I'm getting ready to go. I said, Brother John, I said, we need you. Oh, he said, you don't need me anymore. He said, I've done my work. And he said, you'll do just fine without me. He said, I'm ready to go on to heaven, and I believe this song that I'm going to sing tonight would be the verses that he would leave with us. I'm kind of homesick for a country to where I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, For time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand, where my hope shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, I'm looking now across the river to where my faith will end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand, where my hope shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, I see the lights, I hear the singing, a brand new song of joy divine. My soul rejoices just in knowing that soon these pleasures shall be mine. Beulah land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand, where my hope shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land.
Amen. That was a blessing. My home will be eternal, sweet Beulah land. We see there on your program a few things that obviously if we were to write everything, we wouldn't fit on our program about our brother. And it's been a joy to look over the, just read through some of the different articles that I've had the past few days and think about this service. Even on the way here tonight, had an opportunity. A man in the store said, he said, well, you're dressed up. I said, yeah, I'm headed to a funeral or a memorial service. And he said, well, I'm sorry. I said, well, this is the kind of a memorial service that a pastor wants to preach. There are some that are sad. And then there's some where the sadness is only because the individual is not with us anymore. I'm not sad about my brother's life. And he's graduated. He's gone where we want to go. He lived a full life, and like Brother Sam said, he was ready to go. The past few times I spoke with him at church, I gained a real sense. He said, I just want to go to heaven. And his health was failing a little, and he was having some trouble, just didn't quite get the oxygen. But he was still enjoying being in church. And the past few months, I would look over, and he'd sit right here on this corner. That was his blessing spot when he was here. And I'd look over and think sometimes, wonder, had he fallen asleep? And then all of a sudden he'd say, amen, and preach, you know, and give me the energy to preach more. And I'd begin to, I know there were many times I'd be quoting a scripture verse and he would chime right in and finish it for me. And way to go, Brother John. And, you know, as I think about Brother John Rhodes and I think about his life, the scripture verse really that came to mind was out of Philippians. If you would take your Bibles and turn there with me this evening, Philippians chapter 1. I really believe that if you had asked him and he had thought about this particular passage, he would say, "That's me." Paul the Apostle here writes to the church at Philippi. Paul is in prison at this time. And beginning in verse 18, he starts a passage that you're familiar with. He says, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ Jesus, Christ, shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Paul didn't wonder whether God was going to be glorified because these people were doing something that everybody said they shouldn't be doing that, or they don't have the authority. Paul, you're in prison. Circumstances aren't good. Paul says, "I have confidence that Christ will be magnified." 4, verse 21, "To me, to live is Christ, and to die, it's gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I what not." He's caught. He doesn't know. He said, "I really don't want to have to choose, for I'm in a strait betwixt two good decisions, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." I don't know if you've ever been in an either-or situation, but for a saint of God who has served him for years, looking at heaven and then looking at staying here and serving is really a both. And if somebody's honest, Brother John was honest, he'd say, I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we enjoy that too. And he'd say, I want to be here. Well, do you want to go to heaven? Well, yes, I want both. And I think that's the way we as believers ought to be. See, God wants us to live our life on earth having a desire to impact, having a desire to mentor others for the cause of Christ, that one day He will call us home to eternal joy. Is it life on earth or life in heaven? Well, it's both. The desire of a Christian servant is both. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, bow with me. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Help me as I preach this. Help us to see, Lord, how that this example is one that we ought to apply to our hearts. Help us, Lord, just to take it seriously. Thank You for the good example that we've seen most recently. And Lord, we thank You for letting him be with us as You have and then taking him home to heaven where I'm sure he's joyful. In Your name I pray. Amen. Notice in verse 21, Paul had a desire to stay on earth to make a difference. He recognized that there was value in staying here. Verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ." He recognized the purpose of his life. Verse 22, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor." He desired fruit. Verse 23, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." He recognized that there was a reason to live. He wasn't in love with the things of this world, but he saw life as an opportunity. Do you see your life as an opportunity to make a difference for eternity? Do you? I believe our brother did. I really do. To impact your family, to raise your children, to be kind to your brothers and sisters, to encourage unsaved family members, to win souls for Christ, to make a difference for Christ. Paul the Apostle says here in verse 23, he says, "I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart, but it's better for you if I stay here. And I have this confidence. I know that I shall abide at least sometime more and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith." the influence that you have on others, does it bring them joy? It ought to. I want to think about it this way. Who do you influence for Christ? If you were to pass into heaven today, whose life would be different? Who would be better, closer to God because of you? Who have you touched for Christ? Is it better for others? Do you bring joy to them because you have been around? Paul says, that's the way that my life is. And I believe I saw this in John. He saw life as an opportunity, impacting others. You know, aside from our relationship here at church, I got to know him first of all because he needed somebody to work on his vehicle. And I worked on Brother Gordon Armstrong's truck, and Brother Gordon says, why don't you take my mechanic? And I said, well, okay, I'll work on your car. And I got to know him. He was just a joy to be around. And he would come over for me to work on his car, and I'd get finished, and he would be there 30 minutes, an hour later, still talking about the mission work and talking about, you know, the boat and talking about these different things and about young people today and just trying to mentor, giving me advice, talking about the Word of God, about the things of God, impacting others. He was taken to the hospital Tuesday night, and I just thought, you know, I know his health is frail, but I didn't know anything drastic. I thought, well, I'll go up to the hospital and have a chat with him. And in the ICU, they were giving him fluids, and he was talking to me about young families in the church that he was praying for. I'm really encouraged by this family. I'm really encouraged by that young man. I just really feel led to do something for them. And he said, and then he told me about this conversation he had with them about this thing that he did. And he said, that's just really encouraging. And I said, yeah, it is. And we talked about some different things. And he told me about how he got saved and told me about his dad and all these different things and about his, even there, we didn't know. I didn't know. God knew. He still had a vision for others, wanting to impact others. Looking out. And Paul says that, and Brother John, that's where he was at. And to impact others, but also to lay up treasures in heaven. One of Paul's desires was to lay up more treasures in heaven. You know, this epistle of Philippians, it's estimated that he wrote it 7 years before his death. And so God did give him 7 more years of life. And during that 7 years, he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, he wrote Titus. He won souls to Christ. As a result of him getting out of prison, as a result of God giving him more life, Paul had more treasure at the judgment seat. He had done something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Brother John lived to be 85 years old, 86. That's a few years. 84. Okay, I did the math, but I get mixed up. 84 years the Lord gave him. That's a few years on this earth. And you know what? He had treasures because of those years. He served the Lord. He told me of the people that he was endeavoring to impact. I remember I was reading through some of the different things, and you can even see it in your handout there, the program. It's serving 30 years on the mission field and the different places that God allowed him to go to win souls, to baptize converts. And you know it was for Christ because he didn't brag about it. At least, I mean, I'm telling you how I know the man. It was about Christ. The Bible says that what's done for Christ will last. See, Paul wanted to live because this is the only opportunity we have to impact others for Christ for eternity. This is the only opportunity we have in this life to lay up treasures in heaven. But he also had a desire to go to heaven. Look at verse 19. Excuse me, verse 21. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He viewed heaven as a reward. He wasn't so attached to this world that he didn't want to leave it behind. I think of the words in Colossians where God says, Paul the Apostle, he says, if you've been risen with Christ, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. That is a conscious decision by putting treasures there, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We struggle in our humanity. We tend to be so materialistic, a controlling love for things, and our heart becomes so entangled that it's difficult to remember that we're not citizens of earth on the way to heaven. We're citizens of heaven passing through earth. That is our home, as it was sung earlier tonight. We tend to develop a love for the things of this world. Brother John didn't. For these last years, he lived comfortably, but he lived very modestly, just in a little trailer. And he always overpaid me whenever I worked on his car. I would give him one price. He'd say, "How much do I owe you?" And I'd tell him, and he'd say, "Oh, okay. I just feel called to give you this." And he'd give me three times what I asked for. "John, you don't need to do that. Please, take it back." No. God gave it to me. And then he'd look at me. He'd look at me like this, and he'd say, "The Lord wants me to encourage you." I'd say, Yes, sir. He was not attached to the things of this world. Not materialistic. And Paul, speaking here, knew the significance of heaven, and so did our brother. He speaks of heaven here in the passage as deliverance from where he was at. Over these past few months and this past year, it was evident that our dear brother's health was not as good as it had been. His body was tired. God has given him deliverance today. He's not tired now. And I think of that. I think of the deliverance. I think of the perfect fellowship. The Bible says this in the book of Ephesians: "Even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. He gave us life when we didn't deserve it, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace." You know, I give gifts out of my measly grace. I'm not very good at giving. God has riches of grace. The Bible says that in the ages to come, he'll give to us out of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The perfect fellowship with God. Uninterrupted, perfect, untainted grace of God in heaven. That's where our friend is today. Paul the Apostle knew of deliverance, fellowship, and reward. You know, I think of this scripture verse. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. There is a bit of sorrow whenever we're separated from a loved one by death of the body, whenever they depart. There's a bit of sorrow there. We struggle that, but not as others that have no hope. I'm sorry that I won't be able to share conversations with my friend until I go to heaven. I'm sorry that I'll miss him. I'm sorry that we won't have that fellowship for a time. But look at what 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says. Paul here is speaking. He knew that he was getting close to the end. "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord," the righteous judge. Paul was not a perfect individual, but he was saved, he was sanctified, he served God, and God rewarded him, "which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." I put my brother's name right there. He had finished his course. There was something about the conversation Tuesday night. I fully expected him to be there the next morning. I said, "You know what, John? Have a good night." We talked for about an hour or so. "Have a good night. I'll see you in the morning." And just something about when he was talking to me, looking back on it, I believe he knew that his time was close. Now, none of us know when the Lord's going to call us home. But our hope in Christ removes the sting of death. It does. The word death means separation. And as a child of God, the death of this body doesn't bring real separation. You know what it brings? It brings the realization of everything that is good. 1 Corinthians puts it this way: "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's where our brother is today. Everything good is what he's enjoying. Heaven looks a lot more like home the longer I live. My Savior is there. My hope is there. My grandparents are there. More and more of my friends are there. Everything that is truly good is either there or going there. Heaven is our home. You know, as I draw this to a conclusion, the one truth that makes a difference between a dual desire and just somebody saying, I want to stay here as long as I can, the one truth is Jesus Christ. See, Christ gives life and death purpose. There are many people searching for purpose in life today and they don't have it. Because for them, after you die, it's all over. But in Christ, it's about influencing for eternity and then realizing eternity. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants to save you today. He is the answer. Death, if you don't know Him, death is unknown. True separation and biblical death bring judgment for sin. But knowing Him is the answer. The Bible says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's where our friend is today. And the Bible goes on to say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Christian, let me challenge you. Do you look at this life as an opportunity to influence others? We ought to have that vision as long as God gives us breath. Do you look at heaven as God's reward for Christ's righteousness and for you laying up rewards in heaven? A lot of believers sing about heaven, they talk about heaven, they think about heaven, but then when it comes time to go, they hang on as if they didn't believe it. I'm not criticizing anyone because death can be scary. I've never been through it. But you know what? Our friend John wasn't scared. Paul wasn't scared. He was looking. Heaven was real to him. Would to God that heaven would be that real to us. I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and then we will have a congregational hymn as we close this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would just impress on our hearts the type of life that we are called to have, the type of life that was modeled before us. We thank you. And dear Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember our brother. Thank you, Lord, for the time that you gave us with him. Thank you for taking him home. Dear Lord, in these last days and this time, everything that's going on, help us as your people to have that desire for both, to live, to make a difference, and then to go home to be with you when the time is right. We thank you again. In your name I pray. Amen.
Turn to number 63. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day
that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saves me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
After we dismissed, you're welcome to stay and join us for a time of fellowship in our fellowship hall. We've got some refreshments there. And let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for this opportunity. And pray, Lord, that you would just encourage our hearts and remind us that we'll see our dear brother again. Thank you for his life. And help us as we remember it. And help us, dear Lord, to keep you in our focus, that we're serving you, living for you, and that one day we'll go home to live with you. Give us a good evening. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You are